Well, my friends, here we come to a new series in our worship, the Believe It or Not, It's in the Bible. I don't know if you know, but there are some really wacky and crazy and unbelievable stories in the Bible that we often overlook and don't read and a lot of times just don't quite understand. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these fun and interesting stories, as I know some of you are probably already saying, why in the world are we reading a story about babies who die and kings who threaten to cut them in half? Because they're all in the Bible for a reason, and there's something to learn. And so believe it or not, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Unbelievable. So sometimes in like TV and movies, there's plots that you say, this really couldn't happen in real life. This is just Hollywood. I several times over in medical shows, when a woman comes in and says, I can't be pregnant, and they say, you're pregnant, and then she gives birth, and you think, this can't be real. Nobody really could make it all the way to giving birth without knowing that they're pregnant. And then last week, did you all hear on the news of the woman who gave birth on a flight on the way to Hawaii because she didn't know she was pregnant? Sometimes the unbelievable actually becomes believable when we see it happen for real. Well, this morning we move into what can be claimed as an unbelievable, couldn't be true story within the book of 1 Kings. And who does it center around but King Solomon? And who is King Solomon? But King Solomon is King David's son. And to set up for the story that Jonathan read so well, thank you so much for reading this morning, Jonathan. Great to have you here. And Mama Esther, too, getting to be here, so proud. But before we get to that story, we have to see what happens first in chapter 3 that sets up for this story. So here's Solomon, who has been named king in David's stead. And King Solomon has made an alliance with the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married her daughter and is beginning his time on the throne. Well, it begins in verse 4. At least that's where I'm going to begin. And it says, the king, Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, we've got two possibilities here. One, either God is appreciating 1,000 burnt offerings and is writing a blank check to Solomon to have whatever it is that he wants. Now we gotta think, he's king, he's now powerful over Israel. I wonder what a king would ask for. It could be riches, it could be greater amounts of power, it could be expansion of kingdom, it could be so many things with that blank check. But then again, the other option is that God is testing Solomon to see what kind of king he's going to be. Is he going to ask for that which benefits him, or is he going to ask for that which benefits those who he is responsible for? Well, going back to the scripture, we see Solomon answered, you have showed great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Of all the things that Solomon could ask for, what does Solomon ask for but wisdom to be able to rule as best he can? I don't know about you, but it seemed like if this is a test, that Solomon would have passed God's test in asking for something that's needed to be the best king to his people and not just what would benefit him. And look at what happens. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke. Here Solomon asks for wisdom, a discerning heart to rule in a right and just way. And that was the beginning of the chapter. And now what Jonathan read was what follows this story. Solomon coming to a place where his wisdom is tested. Two mothers, both giving birth to a son within 3 days of one another. And the tragedy in this story, one of them loses her baby, but upon losing her baby, changes her baby out for the living baby, putting the heartbreak and loss on another mother. Well, the other mother immediately knows it's not her baby. And in their fighting, what do? But they take this problem right to the king. And what does the king do? He listens to both women with their claim of which baby is theirs and which baby is not. And with the wisdom of God, what does he proclaim? "But we shall cut this baby in half, and you each get one part." That seems horrible as we think about it. That image of a king bringing out a sword and threatening the life of a child. Of course, that's only if you think that he would follow through with it. But I believe the wisdom of God in him knew what would happen, knew that the right mother would step up and spare her child. And she did just that. One woman was willing to sacrifice that child. "If I don't get the living child, then neither of us should have a living child." But the mother, the one who loved that baby more than herself, was willing to give that baby up if it meant sparing that child's life. I pause here for a moment, because this moment right here and what that woman did, the willingness to sacrifice herself for that child, is why I picked the scripture for today. To honor all of the mothers and motherly figures who are reflected in this story, willing to give anything for the child that they are responsible for, with a love so deep that it's not about them, but about the well-being of the one who is in their care. This is for all the mothers who sacrifice themselves in so many ways. giving above and beyond in everything that they have for their child. We honor you and we thank you, for this is true love, God's love that is in each of you. But the story, as much as that mother and that statement that she made, is so critically important to us as we think about love our neighbor as ourself and even love our neighbor more than ourself. But this text is not about the women. The lesson is not in the mother who truly loved her son, but the lesson is in what the king did. The lesson is seeing what God's wisdom did in a very difficult and challenging situation, that Solomon knew just how to handle it. Solomon knew just how to reveal which was the true and rightful mother of that child. And what happened? But when he declared who the real mother was, it says, when all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Solomon asked for wisdom from God. And in this situation, was able to show that wisdom to the people that he was ruling, and they saw that he would be able to be a just king. And where did it come? Not from wealth, not from power, but from the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? I mean, we know about knowledge. We gain knowledge as we read and study and learn. But wisdom is even deeper. I always say that you can't have wisdom without experience. That experience enriches our knowledge and helps bring us wisdom. Wisdom is talked about over and over and over again in the Proverbs. These little tidbits that help us to realize the importance and critical nature of wisdom. In the Proverbs, it tells us that wisdom comes from God. Just like Solomon received it, we each have the opportunity to receive it as well. It tells us that wisdom is better than rubies and that wisdom is even better than gold. It tells us that wisdom will protect us. It tells us wisdom can be learned from our parents as we see their example and what they have to bestow upon us. But then we go into James chapter 3. And James is such a book about faith and action and how we show it. And James, when referring to wisdom, says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by their deeds done in humility, and that it comes from wisdom." What does James tell us? But that we can see our wisdom through the way we use it, with humility and understanding and good deeds towards others. Now, if we go to a very wise man, Albert Einstein, he says, wisdom is not a product of schooling. So go ahead, Anna and Bethany, you can quit school now because wisdom doesn't come from it, right? Mama Becky's shaking her head no. Wisdom is not a product of schooling, but of the lifetime attempt to acquire it. Lifetime attempt to acquire it. So if wisdom comes from God, and wisdom is a lifetime attempt to acquire it, then what does that mean for us? But it's a lifetime of receiving that wisdom from God, that ability to do good deeds, that ability to act justly like Solomon did, the ability to show others who God is by what we do. I so often need wisdom as a mother. When I'm in a situation and I have no clue how to help my kids, correct my kids, or deal with my kids. Because let me tell you, they can be a challenge. Amen, mamas out there. Even when they're still 20, oh my gosh, how old is Andrew? 26? Oh, 28. Holy moly. We never stop being mamas and dads, do we? But oh, I wish I had greater wisdom to have the answers. I wish that when they were fighting and quarreling and having too much time trapped with one another during COVID, that I had this kind of wisdom of Solomon to impart and bring peace and magic that happens in our house. But what comes from God is not magical. It is believable, as we see in the Bible, that sometimes it takes creativity, sometimes it takes being outside of the box, sometimes it takes sitting with God and waiting for that wisdom to come through. But when we deeply listen, when we patiently wait, when we humble ourselves to see other and world above ourselves, and most of all, when we seek to be deeply connected with God, we will find wisdom. We will find answers. We will find the steps we need to take, just like Solomon, just like that mother, just like James tells us. For wisdom comes from God, and we have a direct pipeline through the Holy Spirit to be able to receive it. And I leave us with these words before I pray. As we think about that wisdom that we desire and where it comes from. But later in James 3, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere." If our wisdom seems to make us superior in our knowledge to another, it seems by James that isn't wisdom. But if our wisdom is allowing us to be the presence of Christ and the wisdom of God that brings peace, love, and justice around us, then we have found that nugget that is more valuable than gold or anything else on this earth. So my friends, let us pray this very simple but wise prayer. God of all things, all knowledge and all wisdom, through your Holy Spirit in us, help us to gain your wisdom bit by bit, becoming more like you and revealing you to the world around us. For all this we humbly pray. Amen.